On this episode, we're going to talk about Arsenal with the Atlanta Gooners. So I just watched a game with them, joined by Devin. Arsenal lost 2-1 to Manchester City. So quick thoughts.
You know, you can't win them all. It was rough. Obviously, we would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of our boys. Getting the goal in the first couple minutes, you know, really lifted everyone's spirits. But City's a good team, and hats off to them. You know, Pep Guardiola is starting to finally round his side into form. So, and we saw that. They had almost 80% possession in the second half. It's tough to come back against that. You know, you can't really whine over spilt milk. There were two offsides goals, but those happen every week in the Premier League.
So it's been a tough week for Arsenal. Lost to Everton on Tuesday. Do I got that right? And then you lose today. Maybe talk about maybe this last week in context of the season so far and what you want to see for the second half of the season.
Well, I mean, I think it can all come down to one player. If you look at it, we brought in Mustafi. We won 17 games or didn't lose for 17 games with him in the side. You lose your center back and bring in somebody. Unfortunately, we're still in an issue where Gabrielle's kind of playing either right back or center back and doesn't speak a lick of English. So the communication has been a problem. We lost 2-1 on goals that were just poor marking. In both games, you know, the header by Coleman and the header by Ashley Williams against Everton. And then today, again, like I said, I think Sané was offsides on their first goal, and I think Silva interfered with their second goal, but they scored him, we didn't. So losing Mustafi has been huge for us. We just look a little bit disjointed at the moment. Hopefully we can round into form. We got a lot of tough fixtures coming up.
So let's move on and talk a little bit about Atlanta Gooners. So it's the official Arsenal Sports Club here in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's start with maybe how the group was formed, that sort of thing.
Our founder was a guy by the name of Doug Goodwin. Doug kind of brought me in about 3 years ago to handle a lot of the social media and things of that, and we've just grown leaps and bounds. I think when I took over, we had around 600 Twitter followers and about 100 people on Facebook, and we're now approaching 2,500, and we're actively engaged in the soccer community, working with Fermata Partners and Soccer in the Streets, and here to support ATL United as well. We've got a lovely bar here at Brew House. Mike, the owner, and Denise take very good care of the Arsenal fans and soccer fans in general. So our whole goal is to foster the soccer community, obviously support Arsenal with a slightly biased side. But if you want to come out and watch soccer matches, whether it's Bundesliga or Premier League or Spanish League, you know, you're welcome here at Brew House, and we'd love to have you.
So since I moved to Atlanta here a couple years ago, this is one of the first places I came, and you guys are always here. You're always loud. It's a great experience. Today, the place was packed. It was a combined Manchester City Arsenal event. Why don't you talk about what you guys did today and in other charitable efforts?
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Chris from Man Citizens, the ATL Citizens, partnered up with myself and Jan Francis, our chief operations officer. We did a Toys for Tots drive, raised some awareness about soccer, working with Soccer in the Streets and the Marines. We raised over $600. Hopefully that goes towards good causes, like getting kids into soccer at young ages, working with Sanjay from Soccer in the Streets. It was a beautiful thing. We put some toys into the hands of some needy kids, and we raised a lot of money to hopefully put some jerseys on the backs of some more needy kids. And it just shows that, you know, we can come together as sides and support the sport no matter what team or what jersey you're wearing.
Absolutely. It was a great event. Lots of good raffle prizes. Over $600 for Soccer in the Streets. So, yeah, just, everyone's got their team, but it was nice to come together for a cause. Do you guys maybe some other either things you've done in the past or things you have coming up for either charitable efforts or for the club in general?
Absolutely. We always want to raise as many charitable opportunities as possible. That's kind of the goal of not just Soccer in the Streets, ATL Gooners, but as the soccer community in Atlanta as a whole. We have a great club coming in with ATL United and the MLS, so the profile of soccer has been raised in the city. Our goal is to have a presence as ATL Gooners at ATL United games, working with Fermata Partners and knowing Darren Eels from ATL United and Carlos Bocanegra and everything that they've done, you know, to raise the awareness of soccer and to have a world-class, top-flight club here. We're going to support them fully as MLS season comes in. We also have a great Olympic program here. A lot of the developing players, they just need the support of the city, so we're doing everything in our power. We're going to be doing more events with like-minded clubs like Citizens and ATL Foxes from the Leicester side, and I know there's Atlanta Spurs. But in terms of charitable stuff, we work a lot with Sanjay from Soccer in the Streets. We're going to be looking to grow that. The 5 Points soccer pitch just opened up at 5 Points Marta Station, so we're actually going to be looking to put an ATL Gooners squad together. Our main goal with a lot of the charitable stuff that we are doing is to raise awareness of soccer and also in the hopes of sponsoring an underprivileged kids team to put jerseys on their back, put cleats on their feet, put soccer balls so that they can train, and just grow the sport from a youth level. You know, there's a lot of groups here that want to grow and foster the sport because we're the generation that soccer was always a third sport. You know, I'm 35 years old, and I've seen the growth from playing as a young kid all the way up to now to where it's becoming a first choice of a lot of people. So we're here to raise awareness, and we're going to keep doing these events. This is our first major Christmas event or holiday-themed event, so it's only onward and upward from here.
So we're joined by Danita. Hi, Danita. I wanted to talk to you real quick about Arsenal Summer Tour in 2016, sort of some of the games, maybe interactions with other Arsenal groups.
Arsenal groups all over the nation and all over the world. I had fun with the D.C., the Richmond, the San Antonio. I mean, there was just so many people, and we, as well as, of course, L.A. and San Jose. The South Bay Gooners were the host for the MLS All-Star match, and then we had the L.A. for the L.A. match that we had against Chivas. So it was an awesome experience. I met people from all over the world, diehard Gooners, man, diehard. It was amazing.
So was it tailgating? Was it meeting at the bar and walking over? So what was the vibe for California?
I would say in San Jose, we had both the bar, the South Bay designated bar. What they did was open up their back area that's usually, I guess, parking or open space. And we had this huge party, like, the night before the game. It was amazing. I mean, the way they opened it up. And everyone brought in their banners and had them all along the fence around the back there. And then we did tailgate before each match. San Jose had the match. L.A., we had an amazing tailgate. They designated a lot for us right outside that L.A. Galaxy Stadium right there. They separated us from the Chivas fans that had another section of the... But you know what? We had Chivas fans tailgating with us because obviously we had the best tailgate. All kinds of food, booze. We even had Arsenal TV there. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I met so many people. And I would do it again somewhere else.
In saying, you know, what she said about Arsenal Fan TV and obviously your podcast, the interest has grown so large because of, you know, what you do and what all these fan, you know, tubes are doing. So that's beautiful to see because it gives people like us 6,000 miles away a voice in the club, a voice in how things go down. And when they travel to the United States, I think you can say, you know, they saw that there's a massive support group here for Arsenal, for the Premier League, for the sport in general.
Tailgate, Robbie went around to all the different cars, all the different groups tailgating in that lot and tried to interview as many people as he could. He tried to meet as many people as he could. It was amazing. It was amazing. Just to get a different perspective.
Why don't you talk about membership, you know, what it costs, what you get, perks. And you also mentioned some leadership stuff. Why don't you hit on that real quick?
Absolutely. Right now we're in the process of getting all the designs ready for scarves and ATL Gooner membership t-shirts. We're going to be doing a big member drive starting with the Boxing Day feature. We're going to be collecting information. We'll have the designs ready to go first of the year. And we're going to push hard. We're looking to put scarves and shirts and identifying markers on everybody here that if you're in Atlanta and you're an Arsenal fan, you need to be an ATL Gooner. And you need to come to Brewhouse and you need to support the sport. And we'd love to have you. So and we're looking at something really small. I mean, you know, on the lines of like $20-$25, you get a T-shirt and a scarf, and you're involved and you're part of the club. And we're also looking at we've got some great other items that were in the works. Our new business guy James is working on some pretty awesome stuff. So I don't want to give it all away. Just come check us out.
Let's hit social media real quick. Twitter, Facebook, social media, website, any of that stuff.
Absolutely. ATL Gooners, at ATL Gooners on Twitter. Like I said, when I started, we had around 600 followers. We're up to 2,500 now. ATL Gooners on Facebook as well. We're in the process of building our website to make the membership drive that much more easy. And that will be atlantagooners.com. We'll have that. We purchased the domain. We're in development right now.
So I'll put all that in the show notes. But again, this is how you can find the group, ATL Gooners. Just search that. And you will find them. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the club. So I always knew that they used to be at one point Woolwich Arsenal.
Yes.
But when I was kind of dinking around, I found out that they used to be called Dial Square.
Yes.
And then they became Royal Arsenal. And then Woolwich Arsenal. And then The Arsenal. And then Arsenal. May talk about, you know, your sort of favorite memories of the club. We can get into history if you want, but maybe like your personal memories, favorite players, key moments for the club.
Well, let's just put it out there right now that Arsenal's the only club to never drop down from the Premier League. So since 1886, we've been we've been up and we've never gone down, so that's something that we hold great pride in. Favorite memories? Oh, man. Well, I'm wearing the number 10 Dennis Bergkamp jersey, you know, so being of Dutch descent, Dennis is God. So there's so many memories from him. We could go a little bit more recently and say the Aaron Ramsey FA Cup goal scorer, the winning goal against Hull to break our trophy drought, which I celebrated here at Brewhouse with, what, 200, 250 other people. It was standing room only that day. So, you know, just as a recent memory, obviously Arsenal has a ton of legendary figures and a ton of legendary memories. I saw matches at Highbury back when I lived in London. So more recently, so I would say that FA Cup against Hull, taking it as far, going down and then battling all the way back, and then Ramsey with the winner, that's probably one of my proudest Arsenal moments.
Bergkamp, I mean, you can't ignore, you know, Bergkamp, Vieira, Henri.
Let's talk about the return of the king with his goal against Leeds. That in the League Cup when Henri came back, you know, at 30 plus, 30, you know, however old he is, when he came back for us and scored that goal. Oh, man. I believe I was at my job and had to get counseled as to not screaming out in the middle of the workplace. But, you know, it's just that was a moment that was surreal. Surreal to see the king come back and score and put us through into the next round.
For me, I always enjoy Ray Parlour.
The Romford Pele.
Absolutely. You know, he sort of understated, worked really hard, sort of a grit. I really enjoyed watching him play. But, you know, then you got to mention RVP, which as a Manchester United fan, I have to say a major thank you to the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got us number
20.
That's right. Got 20 times and all that good stuff. But maybe your favorite match, and you know, you talked about the Henri FA Cup goal, but maybe the favorite, maybe the match that, like, you know, an entire match or, like, a moment where you're like, oh, my God, thank God I'm an Arsenal fan.
Well, since I'm sitting here with a United fan, let's talk about last year's 3-0, you know, with Mesut just showing out. And I mean,
okay, so I'll refer you to 8-2, but continue.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, we were growing at that time. No, you know, there's so many moments that you can pull from, and having world-class players at the club is obviously – I would even go back as far as to say the goal that Theo scored before he blew out his knee against Spuds. You know,
what would you say, Jeannie? What your best Arsenal moment? Jeannie Francis.
My favourite Arsenal moment from history?
Yeah.
My favourite Arsenal moment from history is when we snatched the league from Liverpool.
Talk about that. I have a great post on that, but I mean, like, talk about that.
It was a seminal moment for me as a Gooner. I grew up in Southampton, and so everyone always asks, why are you not a Saints fan? And my response is always, well, the Saints are terrible. They're a wonderful farm team, but they're terrible. And I had been watching the Arsenal as they had progressed and had caught my eye. But that moment, it was such a rebirth for English soccer that it was glorious. It was, and that's what I love so much about the Arsenal, is those last minute, down to the wire. I always joke that Arsenal fans, Gooners always need a defibrillator, because it really is always down to the wire. You can never count us out. It's always those last minutes, and it's why I will always hold on until the whistle blows and keep on chanting for the Arsenal, because I know it's possible. I've seen it happen.
Jeannie's our resident sunshine pumper on Twitter. If you see positive stuff on the ATL Gooners, it's probably her. If you see somebody calling the referee a twat, it's probably me.
Very good. Sounds like we've been following the club for about the same amount of time, but for me, you know, Arsenal against United has always been a great fixture.
It's a premier fixture.
Yeah. You know, for me, like, I will always remember 1998, Mark Overmars bearing in on Peter Schmeichel and scoring. I will always remember that yellow jersey with the black, the navy blue bar that says JVC. I will always remember Mark Overmars scoring that goal. And
I was about to say, if we're going to go there, we got to do Nistelrooy and Van Nistelrooy and Count.
You know, all these great moments. You got Pizzagate. You got the 2000. For me, another one that comes to mind, well, good and bad, is the Wiltord goal in 2002, where they, again, another that sort of goldish yellow kit. I'm a kit nerd, so that's fun. And like, he scores, and it was like the, you know, championships are won at Old Trafford. That banner from the Gunners. You know, that just, like, pissed me off. But, like, then the following year, you know, they went to Highbury and, you know, United scored two goals. And, you know, this was the end of the Beckham era, and they played Solskjaer at right wing. And Giggs scores the equalizer, and I actually thought, well, we might win this thing. That's exciting. But, you know, the 8-2 and, There was like, you know, the bust up, I want to say it was like Winterberg and Irwin in like the late 80s, early 90s. It's just a great game, and the ones that lately, I mean, have not been awesome, but
they've almost been going back and forth, you know, so where somebody has a great performance at home and then they're, you know, terrible away. So, but what you reference is, you know, the time that you're referencing is cool, because you think about it, that's when it was pretty much Manchester United, Arsenal, and everybody else. Now we're in a league where there, realistically, there's six teams that could win a championship, and there's eight teams fighting for European spots. Whereas before, it was never that way. You always had one and two. You knew who was going to be one and two. It's just where they were going to settle in between. But it shows the growth of the league, and you know, the fact that you have a Liverpool or a Southampton or, you know, people that can come over, in Everton that are constantly seemingly fighting for those European spots, it puts more onus on Arsenal, Manchester United, Man City, Chelsea to stay top.
You mentioned that you've gone to a couple games Highbury and Emirates, or just...
I've never been to the Emirates. I've only been to Highbury. My mother worked for Warner Brothers when I was growing up, and she had a couple of musical artists that actually had a box at Highbury. So,
Talk about some of the games you saw and some of your memories from that.
94-95, I saw us play against Tottenham. I believe we won that game pretty handily. And then just the Emirates... Regretfully, I haven't been able to see a game at the Emirates, but Highbury holds a special place in my heart just because of the way that they made that a fortress. You didn't come to Highbury and win. You just didn't. Even when Arsenal was having down years and finishing eighth, you know, we made playing at home a priority. And all the way up, you know, till the time when we left, it was like that was a home. That was a place that I loved. The singing stands, the clock tower, all, you know, everything was just... It was just so Arsenal, you know, because it was definable. Emirates is a beautiful work of art stadium, and it's world class, and it's put us in a different light. But there's something to be said about the glory of an Anfield, or a, you know, even a King Power stadium where people are on top of each other. You know, there's something to be said for me about the smaller, older stadiums, because there's history and there's love in the crumbling facade.
Yeah, for me, Highbury, there was when I first saw my first game. ESPN used to show a Monday night game, and it was always, they would always have this weird angle that, like that and White Hart Lane always have a weird TV angle that's not like the other ones.
Obstructed view.
Yeah, and there was that, and it was just so, it seemed like it was always wet and dark, and but, you know.
It was what London is supposed to be.
But yeah, it's just it was a great stadium, and like you said, Emirates, you know, 60,000 modern.
My main problem with the new stadiums is there's almost they say it library atmosphere, and you get that at all the major stadiums, but it's just hard to coordinate 60,000 people in one chant. And you know, the Emirates has gotten that reputation of being less of a fortress than some of the other stadiums, because it is so big, it is so expensive. They're having the same problem with West Ham this year at the new Olympic Stadium. Big doesn't necessarily mean better; it just means more, especially in football. You know, I believe that having inspired fans, you know, having 11,000 inspired Bournemouth fans makes that place just as difficult to play as a full Etihad or as a full Arsenal, because those people are on top of you. They're literally, you go to throw in, you know, you go to take a corner kick and you're dodging projectiles. So not saying that we encourage that, but it's just there's a charm and there's a mystique about an Anfield or like I said, you know, one of the older stadiums that just, it just puts it in a different class, in my opinion.
Danita, Devin and I have been trading memories. What are some of your favorite Arsenal memories or players or stuff like that?
Well, so it's funny because my memory is sometimes shot. But I will tell you, to actually get the opportunity to be in the same vicinity as players this summer in L.A., Ox was actually a sweetheart. He was very engaged with the fans, and it made it so much better. Ozil was even engaged with the fans, even though he wasn't even playing. He was just there and wanted to be a part of the situation. Cazola was amazing. He just did it all for us, especially in L.A. It was just an experience, because there was a group of them that went to Venice Beach and decided to have a little sand soccer going on for the fans and just for anybody who was walking by. And just seeing how they're engaged with us, so and acknowledged our support for them, especially just in the last, what I've experienced over the last summer. So it's been amazing. Mm-hmm.
One thing I wanted to touch on real quick is we mentioned Highbury. For me, I'm sure you guys have read Fever Pitch. It's like one of my favorite books. Yep. I mean, I'm not even an Arsenal fan. It's an amazing book. I just got done reading The Invincibles by Amy Lawrence, which is, I mean, it's painful reading as a United fan, but I mean, it's a pretty amazing.
49 undefeated, 49 49, I say.
Okay. Let's, but yeah, talk about maybe, talk about some other resources for, you know, Arsenal fans that, you know, if they want to learn more about the club and the history and some books or maybe movies or, I don't know, whatever that you guys have come across.
You know, really one of the best places that I found, and it's a relatively new resource, is the Highbury Library, which you can find on Twitter, and it's highburylibrary.com. And what they do is they go through all of the Gunner blogs and pick out the best. Stuff that's not clickbait, stuff that's not, you know, chaff. People who really know what they're talking about, and they focus on them. And what we like to do for our pre-match and our post-match is select from there and share with our readers kind of how to get involved and how to learn our history and think about the game tactically and strategically and kind of go beyond just enjoying the game but really getting involved in it. But Highbury Library, I have to give them top marks. I really do.
There's also Gunnersphere.com, run by a good friend of ours, Daniel Cowan. And the Hot Stepanovs, run by Jock. So there are so many quality blogs and pages. Arsenal Fan TV, of course. You get people that really love the club and have passion. Some are a little bell-endy, but, you know, those are great resources for not only learning about current situations, but also, I know Jock does
history all
Jock
the time.
Does history all the time on Hot Stepanovs. And Gunnersphere.com is open for people to post and conversate about the Arsenal.
Jock actually has a book coming out soon as well, so there'll be more resources to read about our really great history.
Yeah. Well, for me, I would say the good resource is if you're traveling and you go to that city, look up the supporters club for that city, for that region, for that area. That's what I've done. I've been all over this nation and met so many different groups and different people who have their own personal knowledge. And if you actually do get an opportunity to go over there, I went through that museum and I took my time going through the museum. And it was heartbreaking and amazing to go through that exam and see that, yeah.
Arsenal.com has a great history link. You know, you can click on the club's main site. And granted, it's straight from their perspective. you know, everything's great, everything's good, you know. No, but the club is very... It's very solid in its history. Like I said, 1886, never gone down. You know, we're a very proud club, and we're proud of our history. So they put it out there as well.
Well, very good. I'm going to put all that in the show notes. I guess the last thing I want to end on is a kit. So I'm a big kit nerd. So Danita is wearing this year's third shirt, which is the navy blue. Okay, so we're
going to...
Yeah, we're in Shaka. We're going to have to talk about Devin's shirt here. And... And Jeannie's wearing, I want to say it's 2006. Maybe talk about the kits this year, your thoughts generally in the kits this year, and maybe the move to Puma in general.
I love the kit that Danita is wearing. I'm always a third kit kind of person, and she's got Shaka on the back. I've got Bergkamp on the back. I go for legends. On all my kits, I'm going to put people on the team on the back of my shirt that we're not going to sell.
I wait until the end of the season to buy my new season kit so that I can decide who really impressed me, who I fell in love with that season. And that's who goes on the back of my kit every year.
I was actually torn between Ox and Shaka because I met Ox. But I will tell you, I was like, we want a badass. And we want a badass on our team, and we got a badass on our team, and I'm going to wear a badass. My three-year-old also has the same kit, and so he has a badass on him, too.
So the third shirt is growing on me. So when you guys played Chivas, I want to say you went the Volt shorts and socks, and that did not work for me. But you played Basel last group game. It was Volt shorts, navy blue socks.
Yep.
And I gave that a thumbs up. That worked for me. Is there any kit in your collection that, like, absolutely, if the house is on fire, that's the first thing I grab?
My purple hoop kit with Santi Cazorla on the back. Now, the purple hoop kit, I know it's very divisive because it's not an Arsenal top. It's really not. But I think that's the reason why I like it, is because it's very singular. You can spot it from a mile away. Some people will make a face, other people will smile. But damn it, I love it, you know.
So I made the face, by the way.
I believe that the third kit is it's your statement kit. You know, you've got obviously with Arsenal we got red and we got yellow. But if you look at a club like Real Madrid, you know, or you look at their third kits are always so distinctive. You know, so I think that us having a third kit that is a Volt Green, which stands out, I think it was necessary. You know, the purple and the black, yeah.
You love it or you hate it.
You either love it or you hate it. I'm not a horizontal stripes guy, but, you know. I honestly believe that Puma has brought in a new style. Obviously, the tighter fits are, you know, down to whether you like that or not. But their designs have been top class. I can't really complain about that. Plus, it's also nice to have a brand in Puma that is so focused on football. I mean, Nike is great, Adidas is great. There's nothing wrong with them, but they're also heavily into other sports, whereas, you know, Puma is football.
We had a chance to meet with the Arsenal, the Highbury House brand developers recently, and the care that they take in developing the kit really blew me away. I was absolutely astounded. They meet, they discuss, they argue, but they really put a lot of love into these kits.
So you guys have touched on several things, and now my mind's kind of like going all over the place. First of all, you have a rule about buying the kit after the season, which I'm big thumbs up. That's why it's like I'm financial as well as whatever. I don't personalize my jerseys anymore. I don't hero jersey anymore. I don't, because like they sell and they move on.
You wouldn't put a legend on the back?
I will buy a Cantona, and I probably would buy a Giggs, but that's, for me, that's where I draw the line. No skulls. You know, yeah.
Schmeichel?
If I keep playing goalie for my Terminus Legion team, I would probably have to buy a Schmeichel jersey. Yeah. But anyway, so we talk about buying the jerseys at the end of the year. I like that. The third shirt, so I have I've developed my, for third jersey, I was like, if it's ugly, it's like I gave it the double middle finger. I don't care who you are. But I've talked to some other people, and the third shirt, you can basically the third shirt do whatever you want. It just has to provide. It has one job, and it has to provide an alternative to your home and your change kit. That's it. After that, you can make the Norwich bird shit third kit if you want. That's your prerogative. The Real Madrid pink or that purple and black piece of crap they're wearing this shirt. Real Madrid's chain shirt this year is awesome. Deep purple, white hoop collar, thumbs up.
Now, since we just played City, can I ask you, what is that color scheme with like maroon and neon and black?
So during our EPL kit pod, it's very, so they were trying, I think what they were trying was the red and black from like 1968, smash it into the vapor template, and somehow they came up with wine and black and Volt. Now I don't know why that is. That does not, it's not a good look. Their third shirt is that orange purple monstrosity.
Yes.
But for Arsenal kits in general, I wrote a post about the worst Premier League shirts of all time. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The
bruised banana was number one, obviously. But since I've written that post and since I've talked to people, here's what I've learned. Is that it's not that I don't like Arsenal's chain shirts. I hate their third shirts.
The bruised banana shirt is actually the hardest to get on classic shirts.
It's incredibly popular.
It's so popular.
The store She Wore, at She Wore on Twitter, has an entire line of bruised banana right now for cufflinks and shirts. They've got hats coming out. It's really popular for them.
It's almost like those Zubaz pants from the 80s, you know?
But it's very 90s, and I don't like it, but that doesn't mean... Unfortunately, I'm not the arbiter of all things. But anyway, so I learned that I didn't like Arsenal's third shirts. But their chain shirts have actually been pretty good. So I'm a big navy blue fan. The navy blue, so my unicorn, I have an Arsenal unicorn kit. If I could find the chain shirt, the Arsenal Dreamcast in yellow, I would buy it. Now,
the Dreamcast or the O2?
See, I don't like that one as much. But the one after JVC and before O2 is only one, I think, so I read somewhere, it's only been worn like three times. And
is that 01?
2000 to 2002. It's amazing. I love their navy blue. Their navy blue stuff. The yellow, kind of, I can be whatever. But the green and blue one from like 1982 is awful. The turquoise, whatever you got going on, is not great for me. But anyway.
We haven't gone pink yet. At least we haven't gone pink yet.
So, yeah. But, yeah. So, anyway, Arsenal kits. I mean, you guys are wearing three distinct, very distinctive kits, which I like. And, you know, the guys, everyone here this afternoon, is wearing something great. But I just want to touch on kits real quick. I just want to leave it here. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about real quick, either about the group or about Arsenal or anything?
Sure. You know, we've grown leaps and bounds in the 3 years that I've been with the group in some capacity. And now in forming ourselves more as a force, you know, ATL Gooners is growing. And, you know, obviously we're an Arsenal support group here in Atlanta, and we want to bring like-minded Arsenal people together. But the number one thing that we can say is we have a supportive soccer bar right in the middle. You know, we're here at Brewhouse, and the owners, Mike and Denise, have done nothing but support our cause. But they also have, you know, 50 screens up with every game, whether, like I said, like if it's La Liga or League One or Bundesliga or Premier League or, you know, League MX, it doesn't matter. This is a soccer bar or a football bar. This is where you need to come. This is where, you know, we want like-minded people that love the sport. I may not love your kit, but I love the fact that you're here supporting the sport. So, you know, our main goal in growing is to have a central area because we have a support system in place. And then from that, we want to do things like we did today where we raised over $600 for underprivileged youth and soccer in the streets. You know, so the main goal with ATL Gooners is always football first. It doesn't matter what kit you wear, we're football first. And we want you to come be a part of it.
You know, as we're working on this kind of relaunch and growing, as Devin said, growing up, football groups that I knew of were always charitably focused. And Arsenal is one of the most active philanthropic football clubs, both locally and globally. And we take that very seriously. We run everything we do by Victoria Concordia Crescent. It's always victory through harmony. It's always working together. And whenever I see expats here, one of the things they always comment is, I come to Brewhouse and there's West Ham kids and there's a Man U group and you're all friends and you bant and you say terrible things to each other during the match, but afterwards you buy each other drinks. And it's a really rarefied and special place.
And you watch the next game.
And you watch the next game, absolutely. And you all do it together. No one here comes just for their game. They come for the entire match day. And it's really a very special, special place.
It's not rare to see people show up at 7
and
stay till 3.
Yeah.
And that's why we try to encourage people and tell them, like, whether it's the World Cup, the Premier League, coming up soon, ATL United, come to Brewhouse.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you guys for joining me. This has been an awesome conversation. And I'm going to put all this stuff in the show notes.
Brewhouse.
You want Brewhouse? Would you like to say something?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you to everybody who came out today. It was a great turnout. We raised $605 for soccer in the streets and boxes of toys for tots. So, wonderful day. Merry Christmas. Upset about the result, but anyway. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Well, very good. So, I've been joined by Atlanta Gooners, and I just want to thank you guys for taking some time out. And all this will go in the show notes. Again, everything's on ATL Gooners on social media. Yes?
ATL Gooners on Twitter and AtlantaGooners.com is our new website we'll be launching. We're on Facebook as well. Look up Atlanta Gooners. Come join us. Join the conversation. Yell at your screen with us.
And come January, we're going to be, you know, starting our membership drive. So join up with us. You know, get involved. Get a scarf. Get a shirt. Be part of this as we grow, because, like I said, our goal is to put a banner up inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium when ATL United games play and to be visible. We're going to be visible.
And I already started accumulating some emails so I can start reaching out to the ones who want to know ahead of time. Do we have an email that anybody out there can go ahead and start sending emails to?
contact@atlantagooners.com, and we will get back to you, let you know. We'll add you to our list. We don't spam. We don't have time to spam. Really, we'll only ever send you information about what's happening with membership, when to get ready, and events like this that we're doing.
Well, thanks again, guys, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Soccer Nomad podcast. Let me know what you think by commenting on the Podomatic page or giving the show a review and rating on iTunes. And help me spread the word by sharing this podcast with a fellow soccer fan. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974, and please visit my blog, soccernomad.wordpress.com, for posts on kits, memories, and more. Thanks again.